Our mission at Boolean is to free you up to do what you love. In 3 years, there will be two types of businesses. Those who can fully integrate and utilize the niche tech and AI, and there's gonna be those who can't are going out of business. And every single one of these apps I'm about to show you, I did not know about 3 months ago. I try as hard as I can to empower as many businesses as I can to do this on their own. November 2007, I found myself on the free throw line. There's 45 seconds left in the game. We're down by 2 points, and I have the chance to send the game into overtime. It's like the dream that everybody, when you're 7 years old playing in the backyard, this is what it comes down to, right? Like, come on, Chris. I miss both free throws, we lose the game. But to make matters worse, those weren't the only two free throws that I missed. I had actually gone 3 for 18 from the line that night, and our team loses by 2 points. And the icing on the cake was Chris choked again at the end in front of our first home game of the season in front of all my peers. It was absolutely devastating. Any of you had a moment, you had your moment in the spotlight, you were so excited and just fell flat on your face? Anyone? Come on, no one? There's like, okay, every day, yeah. Well, what happened after that was I went into the locker room, and when you fail, most people in your life, they try and cheer you up, right? Hey, Chris, don't worry about it. You're gonna get the next one. And if you're competitive, there's like some of that's helpful in certain scenarios, but when you go 3 for 18 from the line, it's like, no, like, shut up. Don't tell me that it's okay, because that's not okay. If we go 3 for 18 from the line as a team any night, we're not winning any games, let alone going to playoffs or anything else. So don't talk to me. I was furious. And I went in the locker room, and I sat down, pulled my jersey over my head, and I'm just sitting there. And there's all this negative self-talk, and I'm frustrated and pissed and like, you're never going to be able to play in college, all these negative things coming in. And I remember sitting there saying, like, I'm never going to let this happen again. This is so painful. It hurts so bad. I said, I will either die or I will never be in this situation again. It's not going to happen. And I said, I'm going to practice free throws every day. And in a matter of fact, I'm starting tonight. I'm not going home from this gym until I make 100 free throws. I don't care if I have to shoot 1,000 free throws. I'm making 100 free throws, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to practice every day, because this is not the standard that I'm living up to, right? So I'm waiting. I didn't want to make a big show out of it. So I'm waiting till the whole place clears out. Everyone's like, Chris, are you sure you're okay? Still, just head in my lap, just I'm sobbing, crying, whatever, but I'm waiting. Everyone's like, yeah, just leave. I'm good. I'll be okay. So I make my way out into the gym after legitimately probably 40, 45 minutes. Like, nobody's there, right? 9:30 at night, come into the gym. And if any of you are basketball players, empty gym shooting is like my happy place. It's amazing. Just the echo, the ball bouncing. And the janitor is like the only guy left in the building, vacuuming up and everything. I get out to the free throw line. I go to shoot, and I look out of the corner of my eye, and there's someone else in the stands. And my dad had waited. This is like, before iPhones. He didn't have an iPhone. He just sat there. He was totally present, and he just waited for me to come out of the gym. And I remember sitting there being like, are you effing kidding me right now? Like, I waited for almost an hour because I didn't want to talk to anybody, and I don't need you to come down here, Dad, and this is all in my head. And I'm just like practicing my free throws, and here comes my dad walking down, and I'm just ready to just, as soon as he says anything, I'm going to tell him to shut it and like let me practice whatever. But my dad wasn't there to give me advice. He came down to the baseline, assumed the rebounding position, Just pass the ball back to me. Pass the ball back. The only words out of his mouth that entire evening was something that he said to me when I was 7, 8, 9, 10, when we were in the gym practicing. It was, I got this one. Next one's going in. I got this one. Next one's going in. I make my 100 free throws. We drive home separately. Never talked about that night again. And you might be asking yourself, Chris, we came for technology. That's great that you had this emotional experience with your dad. What the hell are you doing right now, right? Well, I made my 100 free throws. What ended up happening 4 short years later was my dad died of pancreatic cancer. And that's one of the best memories I have of my dad, was him being present. And so the reason that this is so important to me is, and you guys should all have stickers, this is now having kids of my own. Our mission at Boolean is to free you up to do what you love. So technology is very exciting to me. I'm a huge nerd, like my wife generously pointed out to all of you. I love technology, but I don't love that technology pulls me away from my kids. I don't like when they're like, hey dad, why aren't you playing with me? And I believe that technology should be used in an intentional way, in a strategic way, to free up the people in your business so that the business and computer, or sorry, that computers can do what computers were meant to do, which is all the manual data entry, all the crap, moving stuff around. That's what computers are for. So our mission at Boolean is to free you up to do what you love. And that's what all of this is geared toward, is that's what is what I'm passionate about and our people are passionate about. So now I want to jump into tech. In 3 years, there will be two types of businesses. Those who can fully integrate and utilize the niche tech and AI, artificial intelligence, I'm assuming all of you know that because you're in this room, in their business, right? People that are able to take advantage of this. And there's going to be those who can't and consequently are going out of business. Now that's a bold claim to start off this presentation, but I want to, in the next 30 minutes, I don't know where you guys are at in this, but when you're in technology every day and you sit through 5 different demos a week of new software that's coming out and you're interviewing AI experts on what they're seeing in the world and what's getting created, all I can tell you is that right now there is a tech tidal wave coming and it is going to wipe, like, I'm excited about this and I want you guys to be excited about this, but there are so many applications getting created that have such a niche focus that solve the most absurd problems that 5 years ago, let alone, I was gonna say 20 years ago, but 5 years ago, we wouldn't even have considered that this was possible, and stuff is getting solved that blows my mind. This is a quick metric. You can just scribble this down on your paper. What's your annual revenue? And then divide that, and we're just looking for ballpark figures. So just really like $10 million, and then your overhead staff, which is defined as anybody that does not work in on the front lines that's producing the work. So these would be supervisors of the crews, sales reps, office staff, admin, sales managers, marketing managers. What is that number? And the reason I bring this up is because the benchmark that we have been told by other painting consultants and business people is, and this is the APPC, it's another mastermind group. They say the historic in the last 5 years, you should be somewhere around $480,000 per overhead staff. Keep in mind, this is a very broad, it's an average, but the point here is that if you're significantly below, there's probably a lot of optimization available. If you're significantly above, it doesn't mean that there's nothing else to optimize. It's just a good litmus test in my experience of where we're at. But I interviewed a painting company owner who just did $2 million in 2023. He's set up to do $3 million this year. He runs a subcontractor model. He sells, and he's the owner. That is the sales rep, solo sales rep. And he has a project manager, and they did $2 million in 2023. Those are his only employee, only overhead. He said, I'm gonna do $3 million this year, And I think we need to hire a part-time production assistant to help our project manager just because it's like a lot of volume. But the reason he's able to do that is because he has an amazing tech stack that's optimized and automated everything. And he started his company two and a half, three years ago. And I'm gonna come back to that point in just a second because he started it recently, right? So the new potential benchmark, and this is not official, this is just what I see and I'm talking to people, is that you could, if you have an optimized business, be running your business with $1 million per overhead employee. That's insane to most companies that we talk to, but it's possible. 1,070, this is like mind-boggling. 1,070, this is the number of new apps released on the Apple App Store. Anyone want to guess the time frame?
Every day.
And this was in 2022. This was the only source that I could find of recent. It's hard to know like how many apps are made. Like no one has that statistic. But Apple in 2022 said there's 1,000 apps produced every single day on the App Store. New apps that have never existed before. Brand new apps. Crazy. I'm going to run through. There's like seven here. I want to be very clear. I'm not affiliated with these. I'm not even suggesting that you use them. I don't even know if they work. But the concepts boggle my mind. And every single one of these apps I'm about to show you, I did not know about 3 months ago. Every single one. So, Makers Hub. This one I've sat through a demo. It's insane. You send all your AP invoices to one inbox, and AI reads the data on those invoices and looks at PO numbers, the total cost. It can read like an 8-page invoice from Sherwin-Williams that has 6 different projects on it, and it auto-assigns and suggests which expenses need to go to which projects. Hoist, this one I met at PCA three weeks ago. You can put in an address for a client. This is for a residential, and it's integrated into the RMLS. So it pulls the square footage, the number of rooms, and it can generate a quote based solely on an address in about 30 seconds. Hover. This is a takeoff software. You can upload a bunch of photos, and it uses AI to calculate the surface area of the different surfaces on the building and generates total square footage of interior and exterior of houses. This one, Toggle, another similar one that does takeoffs from looking at blueprints. Company Cam, this one I added yesterday because I was listening to the Company Cam rep. I don't know if he's in here. He was doing a demo, and I was like, did you just say AI? So what are you guys working on? They just created a new feature where you can do a walkthrough, take photos, and while you're taking photos, you just talk about what you're seeing. Like, oh, we got a table over here with a clock on it. We're not gonna be painting that. Over here is a projector. They said they really want a lot of paint on that thing. And you go through everything, and then AI will look at the timestamps of when photos were taken and what you said and create a summary report for what, like, that the customer could see or that your crews could see, right? Protiv, they're out there. This one is, and again, talking about niche. I asked him, I was like, all right, Michael, what else are you trying to do besides this? He's like, no, we're literally only solving incentive programs for companies. So you take your budget information and your time tracking data, that's the input, and the output is helping your crews figure out how they can make more money by beating budget on hours, and then everybody wins. Think Unlimited. This is an AI tool for your sales and marketing teams that takes the email address, the phone number, the address of the client, and any other information that they can gather from that to give lead scores and actually get better at predicting how much revenue that lead might be to your business. So it's machine learning, it gets better over time, but this allows your marketing team to be like, hey, I know we say follow up 3 times with all leads, but if they have a lead score of, you know, $15,000, call them another 6 times within the first, you know, 2 days or whatever. You can intelligently put more energy towards the high value leads. And then this one, Rilla, this is a voice recording app that you put on your phone. Your sales reps go in the field and AI processes the conversations like you would on a ride along, except now the sales manager doesn't need to go on the ride along. They just listen to the recording and the summaries and tips of your script with how you're supposed to deliver a presentation, with how your rep actually did the presentation. Again, I want to clarify, I don't know if any of those are good. I know a couple of them are good that we've actually used. The point is, let's say that the company cam feature is a little wonky today, right? Or the Rilla one, not great. These didn't exist 6, 12, 18 months ago, and the acceleration of the technology is insane. Have any of you guys used the Apple Vision Pro goggles? Like, actually put them on and tried them? Tim, like, give me a couple sentences. It's mind-boggling. It feels like you're Iron Man. Like, I literally I could put an F1 car, Formula One, here, and I am looking at an F1 car here, and you guys are thinking I'm tripping on acid or something because you have no idea why I'm, like, taking something off and putting it back and, like, having wind blow by so I can see how it affects the... It's, like, it's incredible. And all this stuff is not slowing down. It's going faster and faster and faster. So that's why this whole point... In 3 years, are you going to be one of the ones who can implement this or one of the ones who can't? Now, what's the difference between these two businesses? It all comes down to what I call clean data. So clean data is the differentiator between these companies that are going to be able to readily bolt on niche apps and the companies that won't be able to. If you don't have clean data, you're going to, the cost of not having it is going to look like you don't have the reports, and the reports that you do have, you can't trust. Not really sure about it, right? Another indication of a lack of clean data would be you're guessing at what to do. So you're like, I think we should, you know, spend more money on this marketing source, but I'm not sure. Or, hey, we have extra capacity. Which project type should we be doing more of? Because we don't know what our GP is on this versus that. But if we did know what our GP was, maybe that would be a more intelligent way to scale, but you don't know that. You have high overhead costs because you're having to hire more people as you scale because technology is not taking the burden of all that data entry away. And your staff that is a skilled staff person is doing unskilled labor. And this goes back, in my opinion, there's a book, this is kind of a tangent, but this is how my brain works, called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's a great book. I started reading it on the way down here, and one of the things that jumped out to me that is related to this, and this is maybe a little bit spiritualized in an AI talk, but saying goes, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. If the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. And then this author goes on to say, what's the difference between sinning and busyness? You're just distracted from your ultimate goal, which in my case is to get to heaven. You can have goals in life or whatever it is, but if you're busy, you might as well be sinning. That's what the devil wants, right? So again, spiritual context, but I genuinely believe it is like a philosophical injustice to be paying human beings that are intelligent creatures that have problem-solving abilities and want to do impactful things in the world and be like, hey, Susan, can you copy this, these 12 fields to these 4 apps 36 times a day. Like there's a real conversation I had with someone and they have someone in their business doing that. Maybe it's not that bad for you, but that type of stuff is completely inhumane in my opinion, especially because a good architected system solves that. And then the last thing is you're gonna struggle to scale because bigger means more problems, it means harder, it means more pain because you don't have the processes in place. So why don't businesses have clean data? It comes down to your data sources. How many of you guys have had the conversation of just like, ugh, there's too many apps, this thing doesn't talk to that thing, the sales rep from this company is telling us we need to add a new add-on or a new feature, nothing's connected, that just sounds like a terrible idea. Where's the all-in-one system? I want the all-in-one system that does everything and will come home and do the dishes and give me a back rub and help us hit our marketing goals and everything, right? You want the all-in-one, but the problem is that, and this is a average, so there's a lot of companies out there. I'm not up here to disparage all-in-one companies because at the beginning of the talk when I said revenue, it is absolutely critical that you understand that your tech stack is exactly like your house in life, right? When someone says, what's the perfect house? It's like, I don't know. Are you in college? Because it might be a dorm room because it's a lot more fun than living by yourself with your parents. But if you're 6 years old, you might want to live with your parents. Gonna learn a lot, you know? If you have kids, you might not want to live in a condo downtown. But if you just graduated college and you're, you know, trying to get on the dating scene, maybe you want a condo in the high rise, right? And understand that your business is going through a life cycle as well. So I actually want to, before I get into this slide, I think all-in-one tools are a dream for sub $2 million companies. They simplify everything. They take out the guessing work. You don't have to talk to somebody like Chris and tell you how to integrate crap because you just got it all in one place. But here's the problem. This is a mathematical issue, in my opinion. Let's use Team Chat as an example. So you have these all-in-one systems that, if you think about it, what is a business, what functions does a business need to do effectively to grow? There's like 10, 12, 18, there's a bunch of them, right? Well, an all-in-one software, and this is an average, has somewhere between 10 and 50 employees. The biggest one, again, I'm not gonna say the name, but it starts with a J and ends with Auber, they have 200 employees, okay? 200 employees, they're an all-in-one system, they do everything, right? Well, they've got 18 different functions that they're trying to solve in this all-in-one app with 10 to, or in their case, 200. But again, let's say there's some smaller ones that have 25, 30, 40 employees. Who's gonna solve Team Chat better? Which is essentially texting, right? Like, how hard is that? I can build an app that allows us to do a group text, right? Well, there's a company called Slack. I don't know if you've heard of Slack. I'm not recommending that you use Slack in painting. I'm using this as an example, but there are companies that use Slack and they love it. And it might make sense if you're the right size and it solves a pain point. Slack has 2,500 employees and 300 developers. And they're solving chat. Who's gonna solve chat better? It's like, it's not even like a, to me, it's like, okay, now we have accounting, estimating, photo management, accounts payable, like go down the list. And 10 years ago, this conversation would have been silly because everyone was building their apps in their own language. Nothing talked to each other. You know, we used to talk about integrate or mobile first or desktop first. I think it's integration first, and who gives who gives a shit? We'll just go there. Who gives a shit about if it's a mobile app or desktop app, because I might not even need to do it if it integrates, because all the data is gonna go automatically, right? Integration is top priority, and then all the other stuff is cool, and now we're having a conversation. But when I see an app, and actually one of the apps, Hoist, again, I love giving critical feedback in a loving way. I told the guy at PCA, Hoist is amazing, that's the address thing. Right now they only have a mobile app, and I was like, dude, this is incredible, where's your API? Like, if I can't automatically send an address to you and have you generate a quote for me, I'm not gonna have my sales rep type in the address, 5 different fields, like, it's insane. And he was like, that's a good point. And it's like their whole focus was features and not integration. So I think it's integration first. Who's gonna solve it better? You guys decide. The real problem though, that we're talking about here, is getting the specialized niche tech to actually talk to each other so that it works for you, as opposed to you doing the work in it, just like connect it, make the plan, and have it do the work. And then, on top of that, being able and ready to add or swap out different apps as you grow, right? So back to that house analogy, because it makes sense to me. When Natalie and I got married, we lived really close to downtown in an apartment, and we loved it. And then we moved to our first 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, and we had one kid with a little yard, and it was great. And then we moved to a little bit bigger house because we had some more kids, and now we have an acre and we got chickens. And it's like any one of those houses for a different stage of life for Chris and Natalie would have been the wrong house. So don't, or understand that if you're like, oh man, we have the wrong technology, it's like you might now, but it's not like you screwed up and made the wrong decision 2 years ago. It could have been exactly what your business needed 2 years ago. So we'll get into how to solve that in a second. Now, what is clean data? I made a little acronym for you with the help of ChatGPT, because why wouldn't you? D-A-T-A. So write this down. This is what clean data is. It's documented. So you have a process, or you have identified all of the data points that are needed, and you've documented And I would give you a hint that there's somewhere between 150 and 200 data points that are needed for every project that goes through your business. You probably don't have a list of them because you've never taken the time to say, what does marketing need to do their job? What does sales need to do their job? What does production need? What does finance need? All of those things matter. Second thing is it accurate? So you can have all the fields, and it's common that I'll talk to someone and be like, no, we got all the systems. We just don't know if John put it in, you know, at the right time, or if he copy and pasted it wrong, or sometimes Karen in the office, she hits the wrong button and the phone number's messed up or whatever. So is your data accurate? Is it timely? So another thing is people will say, oh, I have, we have all the reports. We just look at them every 3 months because it takes us about a day and a half to consolidate everything to get them ready to review for our quarterly meeting. That's not clean data. It's available when you need to look at it, and it doesn't take you time to assemble. And then the last thing is it's actionable. So is the data that you're tracking, like I trust me, I don't know if you guys are in the Patrick Lencioni working types. I'm wonder and invention. So I got ideas like, I'm breathing. I just breathe out new ideas all the time, and implementing them, good luck. There's no, which is why we hired Kylie to organize all the crazy ideas that I come up with. But is it actionable? I've got lots of interesting ideas, but I need someone that can discern what's useful and is it actually gonna allow us to make a decision? So when you have the data, it's like, which of the things or which questions in our business does this thing help us answer? That's a great way to know, is the data that we have actionable, or are there questions that we need answered and we don't have data to? That could be another missing component there. All right, how do you keep your data clean? So step number one is when you're building a house, you'd make a blueprint, and there's a reason why we do this. I oftentimes will have in discovery calls and conversations, people will say, hey, we're looking for someone to connect this app to that with Zapier. Can you guys help us with that? And I'm like, yeah, we know Zapier really well. But here's the problem. If I was a framer and you, I'm gonna say Rob, because we know each other. If Rob was like, hey, Chris, can you put up a wall here for me? And I'm like, yeah, I know, I'm a framer. There you go, there's the wall. And he's like, can you put one over there too? Yeah, sure, do that. And one over there. And so all of a sudden we've built out a house and I'm just doing what Rob told me to. He said, build the wall. So I did it because I know how to use the tool. And then he said, build another wall. And all of a sudden Rob's like, okay, now the second story we're going to want to have over here. And I'm like, Rob, I hate to tell you this. You can't build a second story on this. I didn't even know what you were building. Turns out it's a house, which is interesting. Congratulations on your new house. But we actually built it on the dirt because you just said, can I build the wall? So I did. There's no foundation. This thing's gonna fall over next time there's a light breeze that runs through town. You'd be really pissed that I did anything for you, but I did exactly what you asked me to do, right? So taking the time when you talk to someone that knows what they're doing in this world and in the world of tech, don't be surprised, be scared when you talk to someone and you give them an instruction and they just blindly say, okay, here you go, next. That's only a matter of time, and I've talked to many companies that have built houses like the fictitious thing I just described to you, and then they come back to us and they're like, well, no, we don't want to scrap it. Let's make it work. Can you just like fix it for us? And it's like, we're not having the same conversation, right? You have to have a blueprint first, and we got to know where you're going. We got to know what size your business is today and what size your business is going to be in 3 years and in 5 years. Like, what's the goal? And we also can be intentional that we're making a tech stack for the next 3 years of your business, and then we're going to swap out some tools or we're going to add some tools at this stage to get you to the next stage, right? So the pattern here, there's three elements. So you make your plan, and then you've got integrations and automations. So you have the plan of your data blueprint, which we're gonna cover. That's the actionable piece at the end of the talk here. Cover the integrations and the automations. You map out the right applications. So I'm gonna start in the bottom left here. You pick out the right apps for the business that you're trying to build. Then you say, how are all these gonna talk to each other and which data fields are gonna go from one to the next? We're gonna map that out. And then we're going to have another app that is the source of truth. So it's the app that houses all the information about a given project. And I'll give you another hint. Those generally are not like pretty things to interact with, which is why a lot of us avoid them, because we're looking for something that like does estimating really well, but an estimating tool is not gonna be a database for you. But you need to have a database in your business that has all of those 150 to 200 properties in one location. So when you wanna run a report, you can, because it's all right there. Does that make sense? All right, so, and then that feeds itself, but it's, again, keep in mind, everything that I just said right here, a good company that's doing this the right way has not even started building anything. They have not done a single thing. Use the house analogy. We haven't even ordered the lumber yet. We just know exactly what we're gonna do. We're getting our timeline lined out. When's the plumber coming? When's the electrician coming? How many rooms? What's the house gonna be used for? All of that matters, which is why, like nothing, I always think it's funny, like nothing that I'm saying right now is in like new. It's like, it's all like, look around you, look at how every successful industry that has existed, they all do this. And for some reason, we don't associate that to building a tech stack that talks to each other. Or my favorite thing is when companies come to me and they say, oh, we tried that thing, it didn't work. Like, okay, I tried hiring employees once and it was terrible, so employees don't work either. I'm just gonna, you know, assume that it was them, not me. But it's usually the user of the tool, not the tool. All right, this is the fun part. I need three volunteers to come up on stage because I'm competitive and we're not gonna play basketball because that wouldn't be fair. But if I need three people to come up and actually do a little competition. This is real. And there is a prize, and I'll tell you what the prize is, but it's very valuable, like legitimately valuable. So raise your hand and we'll find a, come on up. We need two more people. We're gonna burn a lot of Q&A time. Roof Pro, and we'll take you in the corner. So yeah, come on up stage. Okay, so everybody is going to be given 8 blocks. But we're gonna make sure that everyone has the same colors so you can't say to me this wasn't fair. All right, so Natalie is going to be our trusty timekeeper. What's going on here? We have two spares. All right, the contest is going to be who can build the tallest tower. I'm gonna actually step down so I don't shake the stage. And each of you maybe should get on your own panel so you don't like bump the guy's thing next to you. No, on the stage so everyone can see. All right, you're gonna have 15 seconds to build the tallest tower that you can.
And it has to stand up after the time.
So after it's done, if your tower is standing at the buzzer and then falls over, doesn't count. So we're gonna go with the highest tower after 15 seconds. There's no catch, no secret, there's just fun to see people try different strategies in front of a large audience. That's why we're doing it, okay? So, ready on the timer?
Ready.
And go.
And now a quick word from our sponsor, which is Boolean Review. Boolean is a review software that my wife and I own, and we sell this software to home service businesses. So I know there are many different people that listen to this podcast, but if you know someone, an electrician, an HVAC business, a painting company, maybe a coffee stand, someone that is providing service to customers and get found online by customers, we would love to talk to them. This is a review software that is the highest converting review software in the home service space in particular. And if you're wondering what that means, if you have 100 clients in your business, the typical business gets between 1 to 2% of those customers. So for every 100, they would get one person or two people to leave them a review on Google. Other review softwares get between 3 and 5%, and the Boolean review software gets 20% of your customers to leave you Google reviews, and these are fantastic Google reviews with lots of words, keywords that are gonna help with SEO, pictures, stories, the names of your employees. So if you wanna learn more, check out booleanreview.com, and now back to the episode.
Go. Okay. So we're going to, this is the good part. So you guys just took your first stab at it. Observe, everybody, look at each other's sacks. So we got 1 point. What's the company name?
Bluestone Landscape.
Natalie, is this a good time to tell? Oh, wait, are you Bluestone also? Okay, Bluestone. We need another person for Jake on round two. Seriously, we're going to swap out because we need three different companies. Anyone? Different company? All right. Sorry, Jake, you lost. Or, I mean, you got second, but Jake, you got a point for your, or John, you got a point for your team. Yep, now we're going to reset. The winner, we're doing best out of three right now. John has 1 point. Tompkins, you didn't get to do the first round, but you did get to benefit from the knowledge of watching everybody. And Dave, so Dave and John, one of you have to win to make it to the championship round. Otherwise, John is just going to walk out in a sweep, okay? Yeah, Dave and Mike need to win. One of you needs to win to go in the championship, right? All right, 15 seconds again. Try whatever strategy you want. Tallest tower at the buzzer that remains standing wins the second round. Ready? Go. All right, Mike, Dave, thank you very much for playing. All right, Mike, no, now this championship round.
Wait, did they get,
yeah, so
those blocks though?
I mean, they haven't even been able to use their own blocks, but sure, we'll give you two here. This is the final championship round.
Reset
them to the ground. All right, the winner of this gets not 6 months, not 9 months, but 12 months of the Boolean review software for your business. Free of charge. 12-month subscription. All right, 15 seconds, and go. Are they the same? So we got vertical, three, and one. They're the same height. So we got to go, we're going to have to go for overtime round. Reset. We don't have money to give away two subscriptions. All right, start it back over. And you each get two more blocks. All right. 20 seconds. 20 seconds has to remain standing. Ready, go. Yes. All right. Let's get a picture, Mike. We have the winner. All right. Thank you for playing, John. You guys can go take a seat. And Tompkins Excavating, make sure you chat with Natalie at the booth after. All right. So who doesn't like a little fun competition? Now, I love this example because this is exactly what 80% of people do with their tech stack. Is it not? Like, let's say the height is your revenue, right? So it's like we start out and we're like, all right, let's solve stuff and put it together and just keep stacking. And let's say, you know, if I can just keep building on this, I make this tower, and like, if I had more time, I would, you know, I could keep building it, make it even taller. I'm not rushed, right? So that's good. But let's say this is a $2 million company now, right? And you come to me and you say, all right, we're going to try and scale from 2 to 6. So make our tower taller, Boolean. Okay, we will do that. Just keep putting on more tower. Like, there's not really a lot of options here. We could go like this, you know, but I'm going to keep making it taller. But what if I came back to you and said, at some point I would say, wait, just so we're clear, you're going from 2 to 6. So let's say we could get there. What's the goal after that? Okay. So this comes back to the blueprint. At some point, if I came to you and said, you know, we actually need this tower, and that's what happens with your tech stack. We actually need the tower to be two stories tall. That's a $10 million company, that's what we're trying to do. And if I said, okay, do you have to use those bricks? Can you use something else? Does it have to be cardboard? Like, there's a lot of questions that you would start asking when you make a plan for something instead of just jumping in and using what you already have. Does that make sense? So sometimes the fastest way to scale is actually, unfortunately, to just scrap everything and say, let's go back to the drawing board and let's make a blueprint for what we are trying to build. And a lot of companies have apps, and then they say, based on the apps that we have, how should we use them, right? Based on the blocks that I give you, how should we use them to make a tall tower? But what I'm telling you is there are so many apps that are coming out every day that maybe some of those apps would be, you know, concrete blocks, and they do a lot better for you than other ones, right? So the most common reasons people fail, they don't make a blueprint. They just jump in and start building with what's at their fingertips and what they know how to use. Or you're building on top of broken systems. The other one is solving in silos. So if you approach technology as like, our sales team is gonna do this, our marketing team, like sales team jumps in and they try and make their sales data entry as minimal as possible, not knowing that they actually made finance's job 10 times harder because you didn't talk to finance about what they wanted when you were solving that. Same thing with marketing. Solving in silos is an issue, or trying to optimize a software instead of optimizing the whole thing. Not debugging automations. And I'm looking at the time here, so I'm going to make some strategic decisions to try and get us to some activities. Didn't know we were gonna go into overtime. So this is an example of like not debugging. Here, this is a screenshot of a tool called Make. It's very similar to Zapier. I think it's a little more customizable. There's a learning curve on it, but it's really powerful. It's also a no-code tool, just like Zapier. But this is a simple automation where we say, is there a laser pointer? Oh, sweet. I just found out there's a laser pointer. I could have been doing this the whole time. So you have the webhook, which is just receiving information, right? So when a job is won, I want to update a deal inside of our CRM, create a line in Smartsheets, and send an email to somebody, right? That's a pretty logical automation, and that's a great idea. But this is what happens after you debug and you make a plan. And it's the same thing like with a blueprint. This is another screenshot of another, the exact same automation, and you'll notice those three things are still right there. That's like the intended path, right? But each one of these things here is just a different thing. So like estimator puts in the wrong entry or the wrong data, kick it back to the estimator and email them and say, hey, you didn't do this right, try again, bud. This one is, I gotta look at the screen here. So if it's a AWO, or if it's multiple subtypes, then it goes up here and does some other complex stuff. Over here, if it's an AWO, we don't wanna make a new row, we wanna add to the existing row. And so every single one of these things is what is called error handling, and it's not an error per se, but it's an error in the way you designed your automation to begin with. So you have to account for, well, how do we wanna do it this way? If, you know, we have this other variable, what if the phone number is formatted in some weird way? Like, all of these things strengthen your automation. So this is an example of a bunch of the things I showed you on the previous slide, having a blueprint and a plan and working through what are all the different possibilities or things that could come through this, but also realizing that when you launch an automation and then you run into an issue, it doesn't mean that the automation was built the wrong way. It means maybe you just need to make it more robust and have more error handling around the different things that can come through. Does that make sense? Okay, so how do you do this? And again, I'm looking, I've got 11 minutes and 50 seconds, and Deidre said she would stab me if I go over, so I'm not gonna go over. All right, I don't remember, is that what you said? Something like that. She said she'd tell me I'm done. So the first step is a data blueprint. And we have a process at Boolean. I'm gonna take you through the beginning of that. We're not gonna go through the entire roadmap today because this takes our company about 2 months when working with somebody to do all of this. But you make your blueprint first, which is compiled of a series of things that we'll cover. Then you actually go build all the automations and you make the training and the plan of when you're going to teach everybody in your business how to do the stuff that you're gonna do. Then you implement the source of truth and make any migrations or adjustments that you need to make in order for your system to be ready. And in that implementation of the new source of truth, that's also where you go live with the systems. And ultimately, getting to the thing that everybody wants is where you eliminate the data entry that we are all trying to solve from the beginning. But this is the holistic and the, you know, the more robust, long-standing solution to go through. So that's the simplified process. What I want to do today, I have to remember, why are we doing any of this? It's back to the mission of, like, people love their business and they love solving problems. Generally, you don't love the data entry piece or the making the report piece. You want to solve the automation so that those things are available to you. All right, so now I'm jumping back to this data blueprint, and I think everybody has a sheet of paper, right, that we passed out? So they're in like stacks. If you don't have one, raise your hand and we'll make sure that you get one. We need a paper in the back over there. Looks like there's a bunch of extra ones here, Natalie. So by the way, this whole process, we are happy to do a discovery call to explain this, but truthfully, I try as hard as I can to empower as many businesses as I can to do this on their own, because I am told frequently, wow, you guys are expensive. And I don't know what that means necessarily. I get that it's more than you thought that it was going to be, but I don't think you know how expensive something is until you try all the other alternatives, and then it maybe doesn't seem that expensive anymore. But what I have found is that if I can, on my YouTube channel, which now we're almost at 3,000 subscribers, which I'm pretty stoked about, I put out over 100 videos. I dive into topics like this because I am trying as hard as I can to tell everybody how to learn and implement the technology that I'm discovering and uncovering. There is a learning curve, and you can't, like, you can probably have it help you get from here to here, but it's like, I could watch a bunch of videos on how to be an architect, or I could just hire an architect because I know I only need an architect one time. That's my thought process. But I also know that there are a lot of really smart people, just like when I was at Webfoot and I wanted to solve these problems internally. We were able to do it, and I'm just trying to make that process easier. So there's a process map that you need, but the first thing is on this worksheet. And so just because we saved paper, I didn't know how many people were gonna be here. I printed out the first page of this worksheet, which I wanna show you right now. And then the first page, and you can fill this out now, there's four pages. I'm gonna send all four of these pages to any of you that want it. At the end, I'll give you a way to provide your email so we can do that. But the identifying what was your revenue last year, what's your revenue this year gonna be, if everything goes as planned, and what's your revenue in 2026. All that matters because larger companies generally want more customization, which means complexity, but you can handle complexity if you have people managing the systems. Smaller companies want less customization and simplicity because they don't have the people to manage those systems. So in this section here, all the things here, you list your project types. So what are all the project types that your business does? So this, as an example, could be, I'm gonna use painting, interior painting, exterior painting, cabinet painting, maybe we do deck staining, anything that is a different service offering, you would list it. And if you need more than this many rows, you can get another piece of paper to do that. And then what percent of revenue is that project type in your business? And what's the average job size of that? What's the close rate of that? What's the number of jobs per month? All that stuff. This all matters because, and I should say, when you're going through this, it's okay if you don't know the answer to everything, but that also should tell you we probably have some gaps that we need to fill, because I believe that you should know, like, all of this information is available if you architect the system right. Like, you should be able to have a report. If this was, I would say this is not necessarily a report that would be useful in like a weekly meeting, but it certainly is useful when we're trying to build a blueprint for what technology you need. So that's the first page. The second page, I'm just going to skim really quickly, and this is very hard to see. I know the font is really small, so I won't spend a lot of time here, but there's marketing management and reporting stuff. So it's like things that are interesting, and what reports do we have, who owns the report, how long does it take to make that report, how often do we look at it, what metrics do we need for that position that we don't have, same exact thing for sales. And then this is a software audit. So this is on the side here, and again, I almost feel like this is just a total waste of time. This is my last slide here because it's so hard to read. but it's all the functions. So it's at the top, it's like marketing, estimating, photo management, proposal, job scheduling, project management, accounting, etc., all the way down. So you list what softwares do you use and so on. And then over here is like, does it integrate and rate it on a scale from 1 to 5? How good are the integrations for that? So that's the next page. And then the last one is common scenarios. This is probably the most useful thing in my opinion. And that's like, what is your additional work order process? What's your change order process? Have you defined it? How well is it defined? Do you have a process map to solve that? What are the common issues? How long does it take? Another one is commission. How do you track commission? When do you pay it out? How long does it take you to identify how much each person gets? What if someone sells something and then a rep or a customer backs out? How do you make sure that you're not paying more commission or too soon or all that type of stuff? Sales to production handoff. So the sales rep sells it. What are the required information or data points that are needed to be given to production? When does that happen? How long does it take? What if they don't have a piece of information that production needs? It's like all of those things need to be defined. And then the last one is the new inquiry process when a lead comes in. And these are like the literally the four most like hot button topics that everyone, like most businesses don't have good processes around. In this, I wanna get to questions. If you wanna scan this and you can trust me, I don't have time to bug people, but Nathan, our sales rep, will follow up with you and say, hey, do you wanna do a free discovery call? Happy to do that. The other thing you can do is we will include in an email to you a link to my YouTube channel. You can feel free to watch all the videos on there that you'd like. And the other thing is that if any of you have questions about any of this, like I literally have hired people in my business to do the interfacing with customers so I can get more joy out of looking at new technology, strategizing how to use it, making content about how to integrate things. I'm literally working on a course that you could enroll in and learn how to become an automation ninja in your business, or Jedi if you're a Star Wars fan. And last thing, Russ. I want to tell you about Russ. He is with ACP Painting, and this was just a cool ending note here. He called me about a month ago because he's going to be on my podcast, and he said, I don't know what to talk about. I asked him what he's passionate about, and he said, I'm super passionate about flying. I want to be a private pilot someday. And I said, that's so cool. Like, we should definitely talk about flying. I don't have, like, my podcast is basically whatever Chris finds interesting on the given day of the guests that we're interviewing. But I said, that's sweet. And he said, yeah, to be honest, Chris, and I'm not just telling this to you because I'm talking to you right now, but I didn't believe that I had time, and I had no idea how I would ever do this until we started working with Boolean and stuff started getting automated and solved. So I said, Russ, this is fantastic. What do you, like, when are you going to do this? And he's like, oh, I don't know. I just wanted to tell you that. I was like, well, here's the thing. When you start talking about things in the real world and you vocalize your goals and your vision and your mission, people start hearing it and things happen. So I said, Russ, I want to pay for you to take your first test flight. Can you do that before the Nolan conference so that I can put it in the end slide of my presentation? And he said, that sounds like a deal. So here is Russ 2 weeks ago, doing his test flight to become a private pilot. And that to me is like, that's why I do what I do. That's exciting. I love hearing things like this. I've got 4 kids and I want to spend as much time with them as possible, but I also like solving interesting problems. So Q&A, if you guys have any of those questions, or it should be, if you go back to your app, if you have any questions, because now I have 2 minutes left, you can, like, where, do you have the questions on your phone? 66. How much does automation cost? I don't know if anyone else submitted a question. These were just 2 test ones that we put in. If you do have questions, like I said, you can go ahead and submit them now, and I will answer them when I have time. There's a QR code again, if that works. But automation, like, genuinely, the cost for that is like, I asked a client of mine yesterday, what would you say when someone asks about automation? And he said, it's about double or triple what you think it's going to cost, but it's worth every penny. So that's a great testimonial to get from a client. But I do think that's true. And I would say somewhere for, like, if you're a smaller company, I would, again, focus on the size of house that you need to get you to the next milestone. And the most common thing I tell everybody is It is not software that scales your business. People and processes scale your business. So when someone's struggling to break $1 million, I got news for you. It's not the software. And it doesn't mean that you're never going to be able to, but you need to work on yourself and your managers and the people in your business, because I've seen some dangerous, like $10 million awesome companies that basically run out of Google Sheets. And now we can make them a lot more efficient, but they can become $10 million with really structured systems and processes and having people manage those. But the point is that to work with us, we're working with larger, more established companies generally. We've worked with a couple companies that were $2 to $3 million. But the point is that don't worry about how much, you know, the new Tesla Cybertruck costs, because maybe you could just get, you know, a 2010 Nissan and it's going to do fine for you, right? So it's kind of irrelevant. Everything that we do is custom. You can have budgets and then go find someone that can help you get there. But hopefully this helped put some context around why it's so variable and all the different things that affect that. There doesn't appear to be any other questions. And one last time, if you're interested in a Google review demo for our software or an automation discovery, or you want that worksheet, which was on the previous one, these are all the same things that we showed a second ago. But yeah, I'm at the booth. Thank you very much, guys. If you want to come try and beat the record, you're welcome to do that as well with the blocks.
Thank you so much for listening. My name is Chris Kiefer, and my mission is to champion the relentless pursuit of purpose. And what that means to me is to be an example, a champion, someone that is in the trenches working and showing and winning and trying and failing in how to pursue a deeper and more meaningful life with the people that I love, with my kids, with my friends, with our family, and also just be a champion and example of entrepreneurship and following my passion and doing what I believe I'm called to on this earth. And so if that inspires you in some way, please share this episode. If you want, like, subscribe, share, whatever, do all the stuff. It means the world to me to get this message and get these guests that I have out there. And if you're interested in any of the book recommendations or looking up other episodes, the movie list, you can visit my website, chriskiefer.com, for all the details on the show. And also check out the Boolean Review software, as well as the Boolean Automation consulting company that I own for home service businesses. So thank you so much, and we'll see you on the next episode.